When your furnace or air conditioner quits, you need it fixed, fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of CARE Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again, without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win the Lennox Partner of the Year Award and a BBB Torch Award for Ethics last year. So, call CARE Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
Hi, you're listening to TuneCast.
Lucy, speed by, Sonic the Hedgehog. Too fast for the naked eye, Sonic the Hedgehog. Sonic, he can lay a move. Sonic, he's got an attitude. Sonic, he's the fastest thing alive. Look out in his storm. Sonic the Hedgehog. Don't doubt what he can be. Sonic the Hedgehog. Sonic, he can lay a move. Sonic, he's got an attitude. Sonic, he's the fastest thing alive. He's the fastest thing alive. He's the fastest thing alive.
Hello and welcome to the 48th episode of TuneCast, brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network. I am your host, TFG on Mike. And unfortunately, because of Skype issues, we have Kevin Thompson on the phone. Hello, sir.
Hello, how's it going?
It's going. And also, as a special guest, one of our ToyCast co-hosts, General Techno, is joining us for this talk on Sonic the Hedgehog. Hello.
Hello there.
Yes. All right. We are going to get right into the history lesson. Take it away, Professor.
All right. Today's history lesson, we're talking about Sonic the Hedgehog, which is commonly referred to by its fans as Sonic Sat-Am or Sat-AM because it usually aired in a Saturday morning time slot. Sonic the Hedgehog is an American animated series produced by Deke Entertainment with the partnership of Sega of America and ABC Productions, and it was based, obviously, on the Sonic series of video game seasons on ABC from September 8th until December 3rd, 1994, and reran until May of 1995. There have been hopes of the show restarting, but the chances of that seemed slim at the time. The series sharply contrasts with another Sonic series entitled Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, which is a syndicated series that actually premiered in the same month as Sonic the Hedgehog. While Adventures of the Sonic the Hedgehog was lighthearted and comical, Sonic the Hedgehog featured a darker, more complex plot, which constituted a departure from the tone of the Sonic games of the time. That's it for the history lesson, so, Mike, what do you remember about Sonic?
Not much, actually. I think this is pretty much going to be Techno's part to shine, because I honestly don't remember anything about this show other than the fact that Urkel moved on from being Urkel.
Well, myself, I think I started out watching the other Sonic show, Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, first. It came on when I came home from school, so I would always come home and then watch that straight away. And then eventually found this show aired on Saturday mornings as well, so, and it was very different, so I ended up watching that, and that introduced me to the characters, and then I found out about the, and then I found the comic, not too long after that, and, yeah, I then eventually disappeared off the air, and, you know, I wondered what happened, and I did read the comic for a bit too, so, I was kind of aware that, and then, like, years and years later, I mean, I started getting back into show. When I started picking up the comic again, because they just switched writers, and I'd been told it was pretty good. It had gotten pretty good at that point. I'm still reading it, so, yeah. And I've gotten the box... I've got all the box sets for Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog and Sat-AM that have been released so far. And as far as game experience, I actually don't have that much of the game experience. I'm familiar with the games, but I've only played a handful. The one I've logged the most playtime in... I've logged a lot in Sonic Adventure... And I've also logged a lot in Sonic 2 for the Game Gear.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to some of the video game talk a little bit later. Kevin, what about you? You never watched this, did you?
No, I didn't really watch this show as a kid. This, I've mentioned it a couple different times in Tooncast that there was kind of a window of a few years where I didn't actually watch cartoons, which would be about the same time that Sonic was out. Kind of after Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the only really cartoon was really probably Tales and Tiny Toons a little bit. But I didn't watch a lot of Sonic. I did play the games quite a bit, but yeah, I didn't really ever watch the cartoon.
Yeah.
Until now.
All right.
So how much did you watch in prepping for this?
I've just watched a few episodes of each of them, of each of the Sonic shows we're going to be talking about, and I will say that I tend to like the one that we're talking about now a little bit better. I'm just the type of person that usually likes the more dark and complex storylines than the comical stuff.
Well, that makes sense. What I find interesting is that I think I've actually seen more of, a lot of the show was really fuzzy in my head. I think I've seen more of it just as an adult than as a kid, simply because of the fact that, when I got the box set, I watched through the whole series sequentially. Yeah. So, it's still pretty fresh in my head, and a lot of the plots and stuff, it's all in there. It was all very new to me, and even with Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, most of the episodes on the DVDs I have, the ones I remember the most are the ones that were on the VHS cassettes at the local video store, and they only did, four or six episodes or so on VHS, so, those are the ones... I don't know if I actually have any of those on these, but on these DVD sets.
All right, I guess we can get into the characters. Of course, there's a lot of really good characters in these. Me coming from, playing Sonic 1 and Sonic 2 on Genesis, I think that my two favorite characters, obviously, are Sonic and Tails. Mm-hmm. They're just really great characters. And again, I said, you have Jaleel White voicing Sonic.
Right, he did both shows as well. I think, I'm not sure if this is right or not, but did Tails' voice actor do both shows as well?
No, it's two different voice actors, I think.
Okay. I wasn't sure, but I know Jaleel White did Sonic for both of the shows, and that was one thing that made it really easy to switch from show to show, because it's still the same Sonic when I was watching it, and... you don't have any conflict there, and Tails sounded similar enough, I guess. But, a lot of the characters and stuff, they were actually based off of the critters and stuff that you had in the Sonic games where Sonic rescued them, that kind of thing. That's where the basic origins of a lot of them came from.
It seems odd to me that since both of these Sonic series were being, basically airing at the same time, that they were able to get White to do both of them.
It doesn't really it's not necessarily that shows for one, so that would have made things easier. And also one thing as well, was airing, keep in mind that Sonic was it was definitely Sonic was huge. I had I have Sonic clothing and stuff. Sonic was big, and they decided to do a couple of shows, I guess, to go for different age demographics, because they're clearly targeted at different ages.
Right, and as far as getting Jaleel White to do, both, it's the same thing as, I would equate that. Now, granted, I don't know how he did it at the same time, unless they were, unless you go into a studio and you have both shows in that one studio, in that one studio to do the voice record. But, if you think about it, say Jaleel only did one of the shows, and say they were going to come out with a new series now. Same thing with Peter Cullen being Prime all those years ago, and now he's back being Prime in almost everything that Hasbro puts out for Transformers. The same thing could be said about this. We don't actually know, though, whether the two cartoons recorded in the same studio or not, because they are two completely different cartoons.
I suspect that they did, simply because of the fact that it was probably the same company that was in charge of casting the cartoons. So, although come to think, I'll have to double check this. It might well be that there were differences, simply because one thing I noticed is that the Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, they used a bunch of actors that generally work out of Vancouver, Ian Corlett and Gary Chalk, for instance, whereas you had people like Kath Soucie and... Kath Soucie and Charlie Adler, Jim Cummings, I think that they work more out of L.A., for instance.
Right.
So, I mean, it may well be that they had Jaleel... I mean, even if he was doing both shows, they could have just recorded him on his own in one place.
Well, right, yeah. I mean, that's what they would do. If you couldn't have an ensemble, they would always have the voice actor phone it in or whatever.
Right. Plus, I mean, they could have also just done batches at once as well, they tend to record cartoons, like, within, you might do... Maybe they did the whole cartoon within a couple of months or something like that, for all we know, and he would just shuttle between Vancouver and L.A. I don't know where Family Matters was filmed, so probably L.A.
Yeah, probably. It's actually very funny looking at this voice cast list, because the character I had mentioned to you guys in the chat window there before we started doing this that I cannot stand is Antoine, or whatever his name is. He's voiced by one of Kevin's favorite voice actors. Rob Paulson fanboy. Yeah, I'm not too thrilled with Mr. Paulson right about now. I love his work, but, if somebody sends you a message somewhere, at least reply. Even if it's a no, at least give us an answer, because I've been trying to get a damn interview with Rob Paulson for the better part of 6 months.
He's a busy man.
I'm saying is, one little response with either a yes or a no, not knowing sucks.
Right.
And not knowing is not half the battle. who are some of your favorite characters in this, Techno? Outside of Sonic and them.
Well, I mean, there any opinion I give, to be honest, it's going to be clouded as well simply by the comic book, simply because of the fact that there's certain characters that carried over. Mm-hmm. For instance, Robotnik, this is easily my... much as I liked Long John Baldry's Robotnik as well, they were two very distinct Robotniks in how they were handled, the Jim Cummings Robotnik and the Long John Baldry. And Cummings' Robotnik, I mean, he's just creepy. He's he's the awesome evil despot. He nails it with the voice. The voice fits the look perfectly. And I love that. And that's still my favorite Robotnik design. I mean, and it got even better I think I liked it even better done by certain art. It would accentuate, like, the obesity to almost of the design.
Oh.
And it looked really awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, like, yeah, Robotnik's voice. I mean, great voice. Great delivery. Yeah, plus, he had the best delivery of I Hate That Hedgehog as well, which is important.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, my second favorite... I also am a huge Snively fan as well. I mean, part of that, I think, is simply due to the comic as well, because, yeah, he's still around in the comic all these years later in issue 210, and he still plays a fairly large role. But, mm-hmm. I mean, like, he's a character who was always interesting, who I quite like. I mean, I love Charlie Adler's delivery on the character. The voice is good. And plus, he's the whole sniveling toady. And it's not as big in the show, but it got accentuated later as, again, apologies for comic overlap. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just gets accentuated as the underdog type. He's almost the villain you're rooting for simply because you want to see him. You want to see Snively succeed, even though he's doomed to failure.
Yeah, I specifically, when I was gonna watch episodes of this show, I specifically went on YouTube and looked for the very first episode. I believe it's called Heads or Tails.
Yes,
the robots.
The very first episode. Episode, though, it's very different than the rest of the series, if you notice. Like, there's actually a lot more carryover in terms of designs and colors and
right.
stuff in the comic, because those were earlier ones. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, if you notice, Rotor's colors were Rotor has different colors than the rest of the series, and Season 2 even a different animation model. And, I mean, you have stuff like the SWAT bots have different colorations, for instance. And you see more game robots, like you see the Buzz Bombers in the first episode.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, for the heroes, though, I think for favorite characters, I mean, Princess Sally was always a pretty awesome character, and you can't go wrong with Sonic.
So. Yeah. What about you, Kevin?
I've always been a fan of Tails. I think his voice act, I like the voice acting for Tails in both series better. Sonic is cool, but I tend to like all the kind of the side characters a little bit better on this series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Tails is the iconic sidekick for Sonic, but I mean, that he's still a character, though, that, quite honestly, I mean, he's not as iconic in terms of voice. I mean, like, for voices, the ones that stick with me, there's Robotnik and Snively, there's Bunny's voice, and, I mean, Sonic's voice sticks with you as well, but, I mean, like, ever, and I think Nicola as well, but, I mean, a lot of the voices, I mean, like, Tails is somewhat interchangeable in my own head, so, which
yeah,
I find interesting.
I do agree with you about Long John Baldry, though. I can't stand him as Robotnik. I think Jim Cummings has been one of the best, along with Edwin Neal, has been one of the best Robotniks that we've ever had.
Well, to be fair, I didn't say I couldn't stand Baldry. I mean, his Robotnik was a very different character. I really enjoyed him from the... I mean, they're two very different shows. You need to be in a different frame of mind. Perspective from the comic perspective, he did a good job of Robotnik. Like, there's actually some test animation of the other series where they that shown up on YouTube where they actually had Jim Cummings voicing him, and yeah, Jim Cummings' voice does not fit the other design, whereas Long John Baldry's does. So I mean, yeah.
Very, very cool.
It's very design dependent. Like, I mean, like Jim Cummings' design voice, for instance, I have a hard time picturing that coming out of the modern Sega Robotnik, with the only exception being just this past issue of the comic where, yeah, I could totally hear Jim Cummings' voice coming out of him, just the art and dialogue and everything.
Right. All right. I guess we can move into the behind-the-scenes segment here. There was a pre-Sonic the Hedgehog comic, apparently, entitled Sonic the Comic, which is a British comic officially licensed by Sega of Europe.
Yes, that was Fleetway's comic, and that ran for the first comic. It actually ran in some magazines in North America as well.
Mm-hmm.
Sega used that as their origin, and if you ever get a chance to look for it, look up the Bible Sega of America was using for Sonic, because holy crap, when you compare that to what the Japanese had in mind for Sonic, holy crap, they added so much stuff to it. And it's like, I mean, yeah, the Fleetway comic is based off of that. That ran for a long time, and it eventually did. They did Sonic a bit differently too. Like, he was a lot more arrogant and less heroic in that comic. But like, that comic eventually did end, although online apparently, that fans of the comic have continued. Like, it still has quite the following.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it would. Yeah. I guess we can bring up the fact that there was an unproduced season 3. In an interview with screenwriter Ben Hurst, he revealed the third season had already been plotted out before the show's cancellation. Upon the request of an eager fan base, Hurst revealed the unknown villain would be the wizard Ixis Nagus. Robotnik was not killed on Doomsday, rather he has become trapped within the void as Nognus's prisoner. Snively would briefly rise to power and assume his uncle's title as oppressive overlord, but quickly fails thanks to Sonic and the Freedom Fighters. Out of desperation, Snively frees Nagus from the void, and the process also frees Robotnik and King Acorn. Although the two have become the wizard's slaves, Nagus immediately usurps the title of main villain and uses King Acorn as bait to try and capture Sally. I don't know.
My question for you first, Mike, have you seen the episode The Void from Season 2 when you were doing your rewatch?
No, I just watched a couple of random episodes I found on YouTube. I don't even know which ones they were.
Okay. Because honestly, that would be a significant one to watch if you wanted to do Season 3 talk. Simply that and the Season 2 finale, simply because of the fact that Nagus is first introduced in The Void as he's less of a villain in that episode and more of a, you know, Robotnik's a common foe to them because Robotnik was the one that locked him in the void in the first place.
Mm.
In the cartoon. In the comic, they eventually did bring Nagus in the 50s or so, and Nagus in the series, Ixis Nagus is, I don't know if that was the intent or not, for Ixis Nagus to be his full name, but anyway, he's done as a very different character in the comics, so I'm not going to delve into that, because they went in a different direction. He becomes a main villain for a bit, but they went into a different direction with him. Because he was like a filler villain while Robotnik was dead for 25 issues.
Right. Other revelations from chief writer Ben Hurst at Sage Expo in 1997 were that the eyes at the end of the series were Ixis Nagus's, not Metal Sonic, not Knuckles, the Edgedita. Ixis Nagus though he did state that Knuckles would have been introduced towards the end of Season 3 and became a main character in Season 4 if the show had made it that far. There were rumors about making a follow-up straight-to-video DVD feature, but it later turned out to be false.
Yeah, every so often you hear in the fan base, like, because there's a couple of message boards I go to, Sonic-wise, every so often there's someone who pops on who talks about how he wants to, how they want to revive Sat-Am or something like that. But realistically, at this point, Sega has no interest in pursuing this. They have no interest in, aside from the Archie comic, which still uses the characters, they have no interest in any of the characters who are introduced in that series, no interest in using them. And, I mean, like, for instance, the people at Jazzwares, for instance, who are making the merchandise, there's comic fans among them. They'd love to use comic characters, but Sega, so far, they are only allowed game ones. And even with the Sonic Chronicles The Dark Brotherhood game, they wanted to use it. It's, I believe that they did want to use elements of the comic originally, simply because of the fact that the Dark Brotherhood is ridiculously similar to another faction in the comic where Mad Libs with just a few beings and keep like the species and motivations and everything else the same, and it's the exact same faction. So,
As far as the writing and directing credits, Ben Hurst, Pat Alley, Len Jansen, David Valeri, I don't know. I think the only name on here I really recognize is Dick Seabass, and I don't even know where I recognize.
That's fair enough.
Yes.
I mean, Ben Hurst, he was the mind behind the show.
Right.
And where and its origins and stuff. So, and he even, I noticed on Sonic Underground, which was a show that was made by a French studio some years later and then brought over, like on that one, there's that quite a few elements that I haven't seen much of that, but when I saw the pilot, I was like, huh, Ben Hurst did this? That explains a lot, because there's a lot of reused designs.
Right, right.
And elements from the original series, even though it's very different.
Yeah. So moving into the actual show, as far as the plot goes, the show takes place on a planet called Mobius, sometime in the 33rd century. An infamous mad scientist named Dr. Julian Ivo Robotnik, played by Jim Cummings, who owned a pet robot chicken named Cluck. Invaded and conquered a huge city named Mobitropolis with the help of his assistant and nephew Sneevely, played by Charlie Adler, and his army of robot soldiers called SWATBots. He then used a giant airship called the Destroyer to turn Mobitropolis into a new city, renaming it Robotropolis, a polluted city of factories, warehouses, and mining facilities. This invasion occurred on Friday the 13th, 3224. Okay, that's kind of freaky. In an unknown month, Blast of the Past Part 1 and 2, it is possible, though, according to a calendar of the future year, that the invasion could have occurred 3224 or Friday, December 13th, 3224. Minister for Science by the city's King Maximilian, who was about to close the war ministry, which Robotnik was in charge of. However, Robotnik soon abducted the city's king, Maximilian Acorn, played by Tim Curry, exiling him to a dimensional warp known as the Void, and made the palace his own personal headquarters. And then, you know, I don't know. This is just one of those long synopsises for these. And, of course, you have Sonic and the Freedom Fighters, which, you know, it's basically your overall good versus evil cartoon, pretty much. Mm-hmm. You know, honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, obviously Sonic isn't Mario or Luigi, but it's basically Mario Brothers and versus Koopa is just different characters.
There's a very different element to this cartoon, though, that separates it from a lot of the other Sonic shows. I mean, Sonic Underground was a similar, but the big thing that separates it is the fact that you come into the series where Robotnik's won. He won, like, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
He's conquered the planet. The planet is his. And in rather than having the heroes stopping the villain and saving the day, it's more of a matter of preventing him from doing more, essentially stymie his advances rather than overthrow him. I mean, they were trying to overthrow him, so it's a very different plot mechanic. And it lends itself to interesting stuff. In that, like, the only reason that he hasn't hunted them down is because he doesn't know where Knothole is.
Right. Right. Kevin, do you have any opinions on the overall plot?
I mean, I just like this, the plot on this one better. Like Techno was saying, I like the fact that the victory had already been won by the evil side, you know, in Robotnik, and it just gives you a little of a take on the whole. You were so used to, like you said, where the good guys are trying to prevent something from happening. So the fact that it had already happened, I kind of like, and I just like the fact that it's just a darker tone and just a little more complex, because it would have been so easy with these characters to, like most of the other series, just have it be this fun, comical, fast action cartoon, and I'm kind of glad that they did something a little different with it.
Well, another thing too that's interesting is there's a bit of an environmental undertone to the series as well, which you don't really notice as a kid, but I mean, like, it's, I don't think I really thought about it until the Nostalgia Critic pointed it out on his review of the series. He quite liked this show as well, interestingly enough, but I mean, you have the whole environmental subtone that Robotnik, he's pollutes the planet, you know, technology versus nature to some extent. In that he's like polluting everything and despoiling the atmosphere and the forests and just
Right.
So there's that whole undertone to it, which, I mean, for considering that environmental stuff didn't really pick up until like the last, for till the last 10 years or so, in terms of kind of ahead of its time in that regard, in terms of using it as a theme.
Okay. Yeah. Well, as far as the environmental undertones, there was always another show that shall not be named on this podcast. Just refer to episode 39. Oh boy.
Is that the one that Simon Furman wrote for Here and Now? Here and Again?
No. Let's just say Five Rings make
write
one.
A few episodes of that.
All right, I guess we can... Do we have any other episodes for this? Or anything else you want to bring up for the overall show?
I'm just trying to think. Well, there was... I know I've read some stuff in that there's some similarities to the Dune series, I believe. Stuff like the Swapbots and stuff, for instance, in terms of just the dystopia. And it's interesting as well, just from a plot perspective, in that they really issue, like, it's a very bare-bones adaptation of the game. Like, a big plot element as well, though, is the roboticizer, which is of how in the games, when you hit the robots, there's been two schools of thought that have been used in terms of cartoons. The route Robotnik Eggman used the animals as power supplies for his robots, essentially, for in the actual series, it's actually really sinister in that what he does is he turns them into robots, strips them of their minds and free will, and they become his robots. If he sends these guys again, he might be sending your friends and family again, where to use these guys as enemies. So you can't kill them, because if you destroy them, you've killed them as well, which they use this element in the Blast of the Past, right, where you have time travel going back to the takeover. And that's an interesting two-part in itself, as you find out that the original purpose of the roboticizer was a medical tool. The purpose was is that you would roboticize people and in order to save their lives, that kind of thing. And they built on that even more in the... and it was actually Sonic's uncle who invented it. And they build on it even more in the comics, in that he invented it, and then there was... Uncle Chuck had used it on Sonic's father, stripped him of his free will, so he resigned in shame, but Robotnik had sabotaged the design and was planning on using it. And there was that... Like, the roboticizer, it's really one of the more cruel... one of the more cruel methods of enslavement out there, as far as... it's worse than the Borg, I'd say, because the Borg, you can actually remove all the implants and stuff, but here... They don't have a way to reverse them. They're working on that. They have no way of doing that.
Right, yeah. That's a little crazy. All right, moving into the music segment. The series' original music was done by Michael Tavira and John Zucker. I don't really like the theme for this show. I don't know, it just didn't... I don't know, maybe because I was expecting more of a video game type of theme, it just didn't really resonate with me.
Yeah, but the video game theme of the actual games, it doesn't really fit with this series. In that if you listen to, like, Jun Sanu's music scores or Crush, or the stuff that Crush 40 has done for game themes and stuff, it does not fit at all with the tone of the series. And honestly,
and that's fine.
And honestly, like, I love this theme. Like, the themes, this theme's like the iconic theme that from the Sonic cartoons that you remember. So it's catchy. It sticks in your head. It's got pretty good animation to it as well in terms of the opening. I'm a big fan of the theme. So.
Teach their own. Alright, going into the Legacy segment, did you want to bring up anything more about the comics, or are you done with your comic talk?
With the comics, I'm just trying to think. It's for Legacy, I suppose, in that there's also some cameos that the characters made in some of the other Sega properties, because Sega of America, as close as they are nowadays in terms of coordination, largely, and they decided that they wanted to. For instance, Sonic Spinball set Sega of America released to try and cash in on that whole craze, and the cast of the SATAM cartoon, they actually cameo in that, in this game. And, like, you rescue them and that type of stuff in the levels. So there's actually an episode of the cartoon that they have where it's very much, you could argue it's a Sonic Spinball tie-in, in that that's basically what it is. Robotnik puts Sonic in a giant pinball machine. And so, yeah, I mean, it's very similar in that regards. And there was also a game that was under development. I believe the name is called Sonic Mars. That was the working title that was being worked on to be a tie-in for the series. It wasn't at all like the regular Sonic games, though. I mean, you compare the, for instance, a Zelda games to the original Zelda games,
mm-hmm.
in terms of how they're very unlike the original. Like, I mean, it was like more a very different, more platformer type gameplay they were going for.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that there's any actual data to that stage. It got canceled pretty early on. Yeah, nothing really came of it. And in terms of Legacy, I mean, yeah, you haven't really seen merchandise of these characters. You've seen them show up here. They're still in the comic, very much so. I mean, the characters have grown in the comics as well, which is nice. You've had character development of the show-only characters, and I mean, Snivelly's still very much there, still very much has a role, which is probably the one I like the most, and they've done a lot with Antoine. The comic, the Archie comic is still going strong. Issue 210 just came out this past month, and I'm not sure if they're the longest running video game, they're the longest running video game comic of all time. I don't know if they're the longest running licensed comic of all time or not. I don't know if they passed Conan or not. But they still have quite the achievement as far as the comic has gone.
Right. So, as far as the DVD releases, Volume 1 and Volume 2 are out. According to Shout Factory's website, Volume 3 is now set to be released online as a Shout Factory exclusive.
Actually, that's the Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog set. The one for Sonic the Hedgehog, that one's been out for some time. It's just a single
complete
box
series.
That has seasons in it. Yeah, it's a single box set that has both
right.
seasons in it.
Oh, I have.
It's that all the art, the cover art was done by Ken Ryder, writer for the comic for some time, who also did a lot, who also did art duties from time to time. And the rest of the art on the DVD inserts and stuff, what's really neat is what they told the DVD for all of the DVD art. Like, the art on the back of the box, the art on the cases, it's all various fan art, which is a very neat... I think it's an evidence of how Shout Factory really is a great company, in that they know that they knew there's a very active Sonic fan base out there. It still has a very dedicated audience, this cartoon. So, I mean, why not tap into that big internet juggernaut that is the SATAM fan base and use... fan-created art for your DVD set.
Right. All right. I think that's going to do it for this episode. There's not really that much else to say about Sonic. So thank you for joining us here on Tooncast. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. First, you can stop by geekcastradio.com. You can also stop by our forums, predaconempire.com/nexus. And you can leave the show feedback in iTunes. Please do this. We now have a voicemail line. Call us and leave us your thoughts on each episode. Be sure to say which show you're leaving the message for and your name. The number is 502-526-5821. We have Twitter. The show name there is GCR and Tooncast. Mine is TFG and Mike.
Mine is General Tech.
Yeah. Shut up, Kevin. Kevin, what's your Twitter?
Professor Boss K-Dog.
No, it's not.
Actually, it's just Boss
K-Dog. Yeah, I was, what the hell? You dumbass. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Broken Up Stuff here on Tooncast. And wish you'll join us next time when we will be talking about Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, which is the show I remember more. For now, I am TFG on mic with...
General Techno?
Okay, yeah. Saying any more words of Optimus Prime training. Until next time.
Apartment People, Champion, the trusted name in Columbus Living, brings you the District of Berkshire.
Man, it will be fun to live there, right by Tanger Outlet Malls. Oh my God, great location too, getting to and from Columbus, and a great deal right now.
Free rent until next year. Free rent until next year.
He ain't lying. Move in now, you don't pay rent until next year.
The District at Berkshire, available now at livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com.
Get your shopping done right this holiday season with Big Air Columbus. Right now, you can get $100 off Elite Player Passes at Big Air, which is unlimited play all day, any day. Or buy one $25 gift card, get a free pair of holiday grip socks, plus a 1.5 hour pass to use after the new year. Big Air is the perfect gift for the kids in your family. So get your holiday shopping done right with Big Air Columbus. Stop by today inside Fieldhouse USA at the Polaris Mall or online at BigAirUSA.com.